Get ready for a week-long celebration of music, community, and fabulous fun with Joy Radiothon 2024. Joy has the largest collection of rainbow podcast content in the world, and you can help keep us out loud and proud by donating during Joy Radiothon 2024. Just go to joy.org.au/radiothon. Mark it in your calendars because Joy Radiothon returns June 1st to 7th. And remember, we all flourish with joy.
Saturday Magazine, sponsored by Velocity Rewards,
the award-winning loyalty program for Virgin Australia's frequent flyers.
Hey, you. Yeah, you, in the car. Did you know that a big portion of people who listen to Joy in the car, just like you? Right now, times are really tough financially, and without your support, Joy may not be around to make your drive around Melbourne fun. So tell your siblings, your workmates, heck, even wind down your window and tell someone else stuck in the traffic to head over to joy.org.au and help us build Joy Nation by making a donation. Joy, your voice, your radio station.
A unique mix of world news and queer culture, Saturday Magazine, every Saturday, 10 till 12 on Joy 94.9.
Saturday Magazine Joy 94.9. Macca and Tass in the studio with us now is Toby Halligan from The Informer. And we thought, just to bore you all some more, we're going to talk some more about federal politics. And for those who thought we're a bit light on them with those of the Liberal persuasion this week, next week, Michael O'Brien, State Opposition Leader, will be with us for an extended chat. Lord Mayor Sally Capp will be there, and we might even be doing it from an interesting location.
We can't say that yet, Macca.
We can't say
it's
that
It's not
yet.
Locked in yet.
It's not locked in yet.
Mystery Ooh. Location, that's cool.
Mystery location. We Ooh. Just don't want to be raided by
You know, the outside broadcasts are hard work.
They are. Yep.
In my view, they are hard work. We did one together, Macca, on top of the Prince of Wales for Pride. I found that really hard.
It wasn't as hard as the one in that caravan.
Oh, yes. It was 48 degrees centigrade.
Macca, have you ever thought about doing some kind of cash giveaway for the show or something where they say people have to find you? I'm here with Michael O'Brien. Find us.
some might say some of his party would join in for that. They'd want to know where he is.
Toby, good to have you in the studio. It's good so to delightful. See you again.
Absolutely.
Now, before we move on to discussion about political matters, have you retired from The Informer?
I have. I was running the show, and I've kind of stepped back and handed over to Arian Potts as executive producer. Yeah, and I think Arian and the team have been doing a really great job. I've still been making content, and I'll still be doing interviews for it and contributing. It was just overseeing it with other work outside was just getting too much. And also, like, I think one of the great things about institutions like Joy is I kind of feel like there's an obligation. You train people up and then you give them a chance to actually, have a crack themselves and back them in.
Of course. Yeah. I mean, I think that's actually a very wise position to be in. And it takes a wise person to know when it's time to actually clear the decks and let somebody else come through.
I'm very pleased to be very, very wise. I've not been called that very often, but I'll take it. And it also means as well you can follow up on stories that are harder to unpack, because I'm sure you both find this too in terms of how modern media works. It's getting harder and harder to actually cut through, whether it's social media or different kind of lines that get rolled out. There's so much PR now when it comes to debate. So one thing I did last week for the show was I interviewed Bruce Pascoe, the writer, author of Dark Emu, which if you haven't read it, is an amazing kind of analysis of the history of Indigenous technology and the sophistication of Indigenous people. And he used all these primary sources from explorers. And Andrew Bolt went to him, there's this website that's literally anonymous amateur historian saying, well, I read Flinders Journal and it doesn't say this, Bruce. And I actually spent like a day going through that site and looking at the primary sources because most of them are online through Gutenberg and the National Library. And it turned out it was all just smears. So I got to have like a longer interview with Bruce Pascoe to kind of unpack what that's been like.
Wow, that would be an interesting listen.
Well, yeah, like it felt really sad actually. And I've had this with a few friends and colleagues of mine who are, look, it's particularly true of people of colour and women and people, queer members of our community, but also disability advocates who work really hard. They say, invest a huge amount of time and their life's energy in a book or researching something or studying something, and then you just get someone like Bolt or...
It just dismisses it.
Or the Prime Minister or, you know, like this is part of the problem with the culture of federal politics now is there is this laziness about the truth. And look, politicians have always been casual with the truth. It's true of all politicians. Like, that is truly bipartisan when it comes to people occasionally spinning when it's easier than just facing things head on. But I think, like, the last couple of weeks... things have been like Angus Taylor, for example.
I was going to ask you what's actually grabbed your attention in the last couple of weeks? What's been the thing that's actually got your brain sort of going and your emotions moved?
I mean, I've got to admit, I was in Sydney yesterday. I flew in, I was there for conference, and Sydney is yellow. I don't know whether you've been to Sydney in the last couple of weeks. You walk around.
I haven't, but I've heard.
It's like, it is like a vision of hell. Like, it's very strange. And when you're flying above it, like, I was looking out and I was like, God, it's cloudy. And I was like, oh, no, it's not.
It's smoke.
It's not. Like, it's just the whole city is hemmed in by this haze. And, like, when you're walking around, we went out the back. There's no way of escaping it. We went out the back. We were at a pub, put down our beers, and a minute in, was like, why is the beer black? And it's because there was so much ash floating down that literally...
Blackened the beer.
Yeah, seriously. Like, and you think about that going
into your lungs. So you're breathing all of that.
Yeah. Like, way more people will... If you go to Sydney, by the way, there's been... Some research and studies, basically masks, normal masks don't work. Go to a hardware store and you need to get a mask because the particles are so fine, you need to get like a professional fitted mask.
Wow.
And it's worth doing if you've got lung problems because more people are going to die from that than the actual fires.
Well, in fact, the health authorities have been encouraging people to stay indoors. In air-conditioned environments, it does.
But the part of the problem, I don't know that they're actually sure that a lot of air conditioners have the right filters for these kinds of particles. Like, I think as a general rule, it's better for a lot of people. But we actually don't know whether, and this is kind of part of the problem with how climate change is going to start impacting us. I know it's such a bummer and we hear so much about it, right? But there are all these little parts of our society where suddenly we're going to find that little things like air conditioners not having the right filters will suddenly be something that we all have to start thinking about and will cost us, you know, $10, $20 billion.
And that's another example of inequality and growing inequality because there'll be people in our community who could never afford to have that sort of technology, can't even afford to have a basic air conditioner. Yeah. So what else got you going?
Look, Angus Taylor, I've really loved the saga of Angus Taylor. So for people who aren't aware of it, he accused Clover Moore and the City of Sydney of spending $15 million flying around the world, and it turned out they'd actually spent something like...
$6,000.
Yeah, absolutely. It was not $15 million. It also turns out, by the way, Angus Taylor, over the same period, has spent, I think, 10 times as much on flights. Him.
Do you mean $150 million?
No. That would be 10 times the actual 60, expenditure. 000. Way more than the council. But because he couldn't just cop to it, right? Like, this is a classic example of, and this has been true of other, I don't think the Andrews government, this is true of, like, but previous Labor governments, for example, during the Rudd years where people were getting a bit scrambly, sometimes the way people respond to scandal is just dumb. He should have said, we've buggered up, sorry, instead.
And we now know who did it. It was one of his advisors. And actually, here's a task for you, Toby. You could earn some money. Recreate the 1991 Oxford yearbook when Angus Taylor was at Oxford and just have some people that were there that weren't there, and that'll be good. That'll get some use.
If people don't know, that's a reference to Naomi Wolf, the prominent kind of author, international author, weighed in because Taylor, it turns out, in his... his first address to Parliament, had a crack at her for trying to ban a Christmas tree, and it turned out she's just said, I wasn't there in those years. I also don't care about this. Yeah. And,
are you saying the issue there is that he's actually not prepared to just come clean and talk truth?
And this he creates, like, he's created a problem for the government. Like, whatever your political position on it, he's created this problem because everyone's like, wait,
well,
this is dumb.
The truth?
This doesn't make sense. What's going on, guys? Mm. Back in the day, in John Howard's first term, he lost 5-6 ministers.
That's right.
Because if you lied to Parliament, you got punted.
That's right.
Right? Angus Taylor would have been punted under Howard, and Taylor isn't even going to fire this staffer who clearly has made this, like, ridiculous mistake.
Made it up.
Yeah. And it's a problem, again, that goes beyond your political position. The problem I think with modern politics in Australia, but this is true generally, is that because the culture is so toxic in Parliament and it's so ugly, the only people who stick around for a long, long period of time...
Are toxic and ugly?
Well, not all people, any political friends of mine or colleagues, I'm not saying that, right? It means that you wind up with some people who are just crap, like they're dumb. Like, they're really meaty. This was a dumb mistake.
And also they don't...
This is a nothing mistake.
Also just own up to it and get it out of the way.
But what did they achieve? Yeah. They made a smart-ass remark about the city of Sydney. Who cares?
But also they don't care.
Yeah, that's the thing, they've been caught out.
Oh, well, you know, that's okay.
So what does that mean? What does that reflect? What are the underlying sort of attitudes that reflects, that sort of behaviour?
So there's a couple of reads on it. One is that basically the government... Like, because in the Morrison government, because they really didn't expect to win, lost a lot of their best brains, and that often happens a couple of terms in. Like, this is true of all kind of governments as well. People move on, they kind of find other stuff to do, right? Especially when they think they're going to lose, people kind of move on and bail. It's that the government fundamentally has a lot of mediocre people there. So independently of ideology again, you wind up having really bad ideas or things being implemented really badly, not because people are mendacious or they've got an ideological agenda. They're just not very good at their jobs. I think the other thing, though, that's happening is, and this has been true of the UK election too, where Boris Johnson's done a number of very sneaky things. Like, for example, there were moments where the Conservatives' Twitter account was pretending to be other accounts to have a crack at the Labor Party. They've been putting out fake material and just being called on it and ignoring it. There is this sense that it doesn't matter as much. And I think that's because, firstly, media moves so quickly. You don't have time to analyse scandal and it doesn't matter as much. But also when it comes to digital media, everyone knows you can advertise and really target advertising at the people who matter. So big issues that actually do matter to most people but are never going to be the only thing they vote on, like trust, it comes to matter less. Mm. And that means the overall quality of people in politics falls, because being honest is actually a universal characteristic that's beneficial in any job.
Of course.
If someone can't tell the truth...
Of course.
Not only are they bad at politics, they're bad at everything.
Of course.
And it's not helpful.
Yeah.
You know, to... You know, in terms of the, you know, the standard, Toby, I mean, I'm inclined to agree in that I think across the board, opposition spokesmen and ministers, you know, there's a lot of oxygen thieves there. And it's because the talent pool that they've got to choose from is so shallow. But, you know, this whole thing that, you know, the integrity and the honesty apparently doesn't matter. Mm. And just, you know, I need that group of votes over there, so I'm going to appeal to them, and that's it.
And in the medium term, it actually becomes a problem for any government of any political stripe, because the reason good policies fall over and good ideas fall over is simply because some of the people built into the system aren't up to implementing them, or they don't have the knowledge base. Yeah. They don't have the experience. There are, like, I don't want people to bum out too much. There are a lot of good people. There are good governments on both sides. Like, there's a lot of competent people. Like, I think a lot of people broadly think the Andrews government has been pretty good. Like, I think there are good people at a federal level on both sides too, but the overall problem is the collective culture and the sense that those underlying values we used to take for granted don't matter as much.
I think we need to invest in some detoxification tablets.
Oh, that's a good idea. National detox.
And send them off to Canberra and get everybody on a decent dose so that we can actually start the year a bit more fresh.
A national enema? I don't know how you do that. Like, I'm not gonna label...
That sounds really bad. Toby, we are out of time, but just so before good. We do go, what's in store for you for the year?
I'm looking forward. We're moving house. I'm looking forward to moving in.
Is you and your husband?
My husband and our beautiful dog. And we're thinking about possibly getting another pooch. Banjo, if you're listening, he's a dog.
You have to be another greyhound.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, what about a schnauzer, though?
What about it?
Okay, we're out of time.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you so much. It's been such a pleasure joining you both.
And we look forward to many more chats on air next year.
Saturday Magazine on Joy 94.9, proudly sponsored by Virgin Australia. Visit virginaustralia.com.
This podcast was produced by Joy Media. You can support Joy's diverse sound and diverse community this June by donating to Joy Radiothon 2024. Go to joy.org.au/radiothon. And remember, we all flourish with joy.